This image is far more difficult to produce than it might appear at first glance. The incredible depth of field required to pull this off is just amazing, and really the primary advantage of using a view camera to create this kind of image. Anyone who uses a view camera knows that you can tilt and swing the various components, that is to say, you can change the direction at which the light strikes the film by tilting the lens plane forward or tilting the film plane back, so they're no longer perfectly parallel. Doing so employs a rather obscure bit of optical calculation known to mathematics as the Scheimpflug principle. It's simply a way to change the plane of focus and create these incredible depth of field images. To the generation of photographers who have never used a view camera, the only way to create this kind of image is through a small aperture, stopping down to f16 or f22, but that has its own problems with diffraction and etc. A view camera is really the best answer to do this, with a single exception, and that is there are some very expensive tilt and swing lenses that are manufactured for 35mm format for the high-end professional cameras. It's one of those things that you need fairly rarely, but when you do need it to make an image like this, it's really the only way to create it without suffering some of the problems of those tiny apertures. The only other way that I've been successful in doing this kind of work with a smaller camera is to use a very long enlarging lens on a bellows adapter that's typically used for macro work. There are some macro bellows that allow tilts and swings, and I was able to use a 35mm camera successfully to create these kind of images. But what an odd technique that was. It works. I wish I could find a bellows like that that worked on my digital camera, because I miss the tilts and swings that I used during all those years when my primary camera was a monorail.